chapter number 12. Some might ask Brother Jones, exactly where is that in the Bible? It's just before Song of Solomon. That ought to be a big help. Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. To begin, I'm going to read the first verse and then keep your Bibles open. Solomon is writing, he says, "Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Then in the remainder of the chapter, Solomon tells us of what life is like when a person gets old. Then in the final few verses, he concludes with some good advice. So I'm going to read the last few verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. Everyone who fears God and keeps His commandments will love Him, serve Him, obey Him, walk with Him, enjoy fellowship, have a wonderful life. Amen. Amen. No doubt everyone present today at some time in your life has done something that you're not pleased with. You said something. You were a party to something that really wasn't the best. You're not proud of it. We discussed in Bible study that some things that we've done in the past that we would like to be able to forget. We would like somehow for to have them erased from our mind, from our memory, altogether. Although we're Christians and we know that we've been forgiven, we know that every sin that we've ever committed was washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We know that the slate has been wiped clean and no longer is it against us, and even God has promised that He'll never remember any of those against us anymore. Thank God for that. Yet even knowing that, there's some things in our past that still bother us. Still in our minds. Satan brings them up often. Tries to destroy you. Tries to keep you beat down over something that's already been forgiven by the Almighty God. You love to be able to put them out of your mind. And you love for God to tell Satan he's not allowed to touch your mind anymore. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And listen closely to what I tell you now. I believe that's exactly, precisely, what's going to take place when the trumpet sounds. We're going to lay aside this body of clay, this mortal flesh. We're going to put on immortality, incorruption. We're going to put on a glorified body. And never again, anything that we have ever done wrong, never again will it come to our mind. Hallelujah. I'm looking for that day. Thank God, thank God. The devil, I thank God for the way that He's blessed me and you. And he doesn't bother me so much with some things that way back yonder. He'll bring them to my attention, but the Bible says resist the devil, he'll flee from you. And he lets us to know that we'll just trust him, that he'll take care of us. But the devil will keep on bringing things like that up, but there's coming a day. Hallelujah. Listen if you will, even though that moment, that great moment, and that event that I just mentioned, that catching away of the saints of God, has not yet come, we can rejoice today because we know it's coming. Hallelujah. It's good to rejoice at what has been done. It's good to rejoice at what God is doing. But it's good to rejoice at what you know God is going to do. Amen, amen. I know that one of these days I'm going to lay this old body aside. I'm going to take on a glorified body and forever be with the Lord. Paul said so. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Brother, that's more than my mind can comprehend. That's something to rejoice about, to shout about, to praise God for. But there's another side. We like to forget some things, but there's another side as well. As much as we'd like to forget some things of our past, we're told in the Scriptures, there's some things we ought to remember. That we would do good to remember. And I have three or four thoughts I want to bring to our attention today to remember. King Solomon, in today's scripture reading, began the chapter by saying, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember." He begins to give wisdom, words of wisdom after you read that first verse. How that we ought to live. How that we ought to not wait until we get old to begin to serve God. He's encouraging the young people to don't follow him. And I'm going to use a few illustrations here. Solomon has lived his life now, a good part of his life, in his younger years. And I realize God gave him wisdom. But I want everyone to understand Solomon didn't always follow the direction that God led him. Solomon lived foolishly. He tried to feel the emptiness in his heart with pleasure, with sin, sinful living. He disobeyed God in so many ways. And it came to a time in his life when he looked back and he said, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity." You know what he's saying? It's all of no benefit. Living for yourself comes to naught. I filled my life with all the things that I wanted. I searched the world. I had money. I had popularity. I had power. I was the king. Everything in my fingertips, and yet I disobeyed God and I lived a sinful life, filling my life with things that ought not to be there. And when he looks back, oh, vanity of vanities, all is that. He said, it all comes to naught, that living that kind of life will leave you empty. And he's trying to give warning to the young people. Don't follow the life that I lived, but follow the Lord. Obey the Lord. Start while you're young. Thank God for some young people of our church that have turned their lives over to God and serving Him while they're young. Amen, amen. Thank God for the young people, for the youth services, for Missy and for Shelley, the leaders of the youth. Thank God for each of them. My prayer is, and I trust your prayers to say, God bless them and keep on blessing them. Say to them and encourage them about hallelujah, hallelujah. Help them to get established in the truth of God's Word and keep on growing spiritually. And one of these days, if the Lord tarries, they'll become pillars in the household of God. They'll be useful for the kingdom of God. My prayer is, God, bless the young people. Amen, amen, amen. Bless them and keep them and use them for thy glory. When it's all said and done, they'll be stalwarts in the house of God, established in the truths of God's Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So Solomon writes, gives advice for the future generations, and I thank God again for the youth of our church. Let me say this to all the youth, and I see many of them are outside even now. Maybe some are doing something, but remember, righteous living will bring you safely through all the trials and troubles of life, and it'll cause you to live victorious. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Come to the second point that I'd like to mention today, and has to do with the deliverance of the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. The Bible says that there came a time when they were preparing to leave, and God had sent Moses to bring the children of Israel out of bondage. They were to take a lamb without a spot or a blemish, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to kill the lamb, representing the crucifixion. They would take the blood and they would apply it above the door and down both of the side posts of the door. Because God said, at the night, this night, I'm going to send the death angel through Egypt. Everywhere the blood is seen, the angel will go over that house. But if there's no blood, the Bible says that the death angel would enter and the oldest child and the oldest of the animals, the firstborn, would die. And it happened that night. The death angel passed through. Everywhere there's blood. And the people inside, covered by the blood. The death angel passed over. But where there was no blood over the door, Down the side poles that the angel took the life of the oldest of the children, the oldest of the family, the oldest of the cattle. It was a sad day. It was a terrible day. There was heartache. There was death. There was grieving across Egypt because of death. Let me leave this with you on that same night. It happened to be April the 14th, 1491 B.C. On that same night, although there was death and there was grief and sorrow in the land of Egypt because of the death of the firstborn, there was rejoicing in the hearts of the people of God, thanking God for the blood. Thanking God for the blood that was shed to bring salvation to the firstborn of the families. And all the families were saved. Listen closely to me. I thank God today for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often I think we take things for granted. When Moses had come out, there came a time when he was looking back over the situation in the book of Exodus, in the 13th chapter. Listen to what Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. Remember this day. Remember this day. Remember this day. I think sometimes we forget what God has done for us. And we go on in our lives just walking along, and forgetting what it cost for us to be saved. Last Sunday morning in Sunday school, at the close of the Sunday school lesson, Grandma was teaching. She was broken in the spirit. Tears in her eyes. She said something like this, and I can't quote it, but something like this. So often, I think that we take the death of Jesus too lightly. When you begin to think about what it costs for our salvation, we ought to remember and rejoice. We ought to remember and be thankful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It would be good to make your way, make an altar somewhere. I'm not talking about right now. Make an altar somewhere sometime and just thank God for what He's done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just worship God. Get it in your mind what it costs for you to be saved, for me to be saved. Hallelujah. If we could only realize the blood that was applied to our hearts, like the blood of the Lamb for the children of Israel, applied to the door. The blood that's been applied to our heart, it costs something. It cost the Son of God His very life. And we ought to thank Him. And remember, Moses said, remember this day. Now, I'm going to share something with you. You've been saved. I'm talking to Christians right now. You've been saved. You know that your sins were covered by the blood. You know that they were all forgiven. The Lord didn't leave one sin left uncovered. He forgave. But you don't remember the exact day on the calendar. And that's all right. But you remember something happened. And that's better. You know what happened. The songwriter said, I was there when it happened, and I all know. I'm the one that got saved, right beside my wife in the altar. Right there, 3,000 miles in Toronto. I was there when it happened. We know that it happened. Maybe you don't even remember the day at all. I remember the month, but I can't tell you the day. But I know what happened. God saved to the uttermost. And now Moses said to the children of Israel, remember this day. And so if you can't remember the day that you got saved, remember the fact that you got saved. If you're saved right now, won't you just wave your hand to heaven? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Well, glory to God. Saved by the blood. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. Children of the Most High God. Brother, we've got something to rejoice about. We've got something to thank God for today. Remember God saved you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Remember how it was when you came up out of the wilderness of sin, with your sins covered by the blood, and the joy bells ringing in your heart, and the peace of God filling your soul. Glory to God. Remember. to do you good. Just remember what the Lord's done. Moses said, remember this day. We were in bondage. We were slaves to sin and to Satan. The Bible said we were lost. We were undone. We were blinded to the things of God. We were on our way to eternity unprepared. No help, no help anywhere seemingly. There's a verse in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans that says, but God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember, remember, remember. Some things you'd like to forget back yonder in your sinful days, but remember what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't come to Him first. He came looking for us. Aren't you glad He came? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. I had no hope for heaven. I had a good mom and a good dad. I had good grandparents. All holiest people. But I was lost and undone. My mother prayed. My daddy prayed. The others prayed. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to me. And He lifted me out of sin. Brother, I'm going to remember as long as I have a mind. Help me, God, never to forget what He's done. Hallelujah. 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 Remember this day. Count your blessings. Remember the goodness of God, the grace of God, all that is done. I was talking to an elderly preacher, retired, been retired for years. His wife has passed on. His voice is now about gone as far as being able to preach. He still has the love of God in his heart, and I was talking to him this past week, and he said, we were talking about ages, and he said, I have quit counting years, and I've started counting my blessings instead. You'll get a whole lot more out of counting blessings. Thank God, thank God. Count the blessings and remember what God has done. Remember His goodness. When the children of Israel came, of Judah came away from Babylon, the time was about over in the captivity. The psalmist said in the 126th Psalm, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And I thought, He's done so much for me and you. Eddie mentioned this morning in the preliminaries of the Sunday school about being a part in the Sunday school and in the church and being active and being productive for the kingdom of God. Did you know if every one of us could work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, the rest of our lives for the glory of God, for the kingdom of God, it wouldn't even put a dent in what He's done for us. We'll never be able to repay. We'll never be able to repay what He's done. And all He asks of us is, just serve Him. Hallelujah. Let me just share something before I leave this point today. Remember the blessings of God. Remember what God has done. Remember how He saved you and when He saved you and how He changed your life, and remember how He's been there for you from that time on. How He's blessed you. The more you remember, begin to thank God, the more He just begins to bless you. Remember the goodness of God, the blessings of God. Hallelujah. There was something that I thought I would mention, but I am not right now. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Remember what the Lord has done. And then there's a scripture in the book of Habakkuk. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. The 3rd chapter. The prophet had heard God speak about judgment that was coming upon Israel. How that the nation of Israel had turned their backs on God, and how that they had gone back into sin, and how they were worshiping idols. God hates such as that. He loves the sinner. God said, I'm going to send judgment upon my chosen people because of what they have done and how they're living, how they've gone away from me and broken my commandments, gone to idol worship, and I'm going to send judgment. And the prophet began to pray. Habakkuk began to pray. He said, "Oh Lord, I've heard thy speech, and I was afraid. Oh Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." The prophet was aware that Israel was deserving of the judgment of God, and he asked God to remember mercy. Remember mercy. Remember mercy. Here's a preacher asking God to be merciful. Let me just tell the story. Israel rejected God. They would not repent. And so in the year 721 B.C., the Assyrians overran Samaria, captured the land, captured the people, took them away into captivity, destroyed much of the land. Habakkuk had prayed, "God, have mercy." Some people might have the idea that God didn't answer. He's saying, "Have mercy on the nation of Israel. Have mercy on your people." But I want you to listen to something else. God did hear. And although when Jesus came on the scene, some 700 years later, the Jews, the Israeli nation, they rejected him. They said, "We don't want him." Then they said, "Crucify him." There was a debate some years ago that who really crucified Jesus? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jew? Who was it? The Jews said, "Crucify him." But let me just share one other in the equation. It was you and me. It was our sins that nailed him to the cross. They say, "Crucify him, crucify him, we don't want him." And so Jesus was crucified. The Jews didn't want him. And from that day, they said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." They didn't understand what they were saying. But from that day until today, the Jews have been a persecuted people. They've suffered and suffered and suffered and suffered. Did you know that Jerusalem has been destroyed 100 times in war? Iran is wanting to wipe it out one more time. Israel has suffered. The nation of Israel has suffered and suffered and suffered because they rejected the Messiah. There's coming a time when Jesus is coming back. And it might be today. And when Jesus returns, all those that are ready are going to be with him. But the Jewish nation is not ready. There's a Jew here and there that have accepted Christ, and they're part of the church, and every Jew that is saved and walking in the light is going in the rapture. But the nation of Israel is going to be left behind. I know that. The Bible said so. They're going to go through the tribulation. It's going to be the most terrible 7 years of their lives. Jacob's trouble. But God's going to bring a remnant of the nation through. And when the nation of Israel gets to the end of the tribulation, and Jesus Christ comes back from glory, and comes to the Mount of Olives, and makes his way into the city of Jerusalem through the eastern gate, and the Jews are going to say, "Where did you get those nail prints in your hands?" He's going to say something like this, "I received them in the house of my friends." You know what he's talking about? "I got them from my own people, the Jew. I got them from the nation of Israel. And they're going to bow down and worship him. And they're going to accept Jesus as their Savior, the Messiah, at the end of the tribulation period when he comes back from the Battle of Armageddon. The nation of Israel is going to turn wholesale to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going with him into the millennial reign and live with God forever." What do you say, preacher? God heard the prayer of Habakkuk. Have mercy. And although that generation perished, God had mercy on Israel. And Israel is going to survive. I'm going to give you I don't know, some kind of lesson real quickly. Forget about Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Syria, Lebanon, Hezbollah, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, China, Russia. Forget about all of that. What are they going to do? Israel. Keep in mind what I tell you right now. God is on the side with Israel. Israel is going to make it. They're not going to be pushed in the sea, and they're not going to be annihilated by some nuclear warhead out of Iran. Keep that in mind. They'll never be destroyed. Because a black and plaid. Have mercy. And God is a merciful God. I can look around this congregation this morning, and I can see Carl and Joyce, and I can see Jay and Dustin, and I can see all of you. And I'm not going to try to name you by name, but I'll tell you what, you're here today because of the mercies of God. Hallelujah. 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 If it had not been for the mercies of God, most of us, no doubt, would have already been in eternity. While I've been praying this week, God's let me to know, Dad, He tried to impress upon my mind, eternity is more than a lot of people imagine. People have laughed at hell and made fun of hell, how the friendship they're going to have in hell. There'll be no friendship in hell. Thank God. If I could preach one sermon out of my heart like I feel, thank God for His mercy. Remember mercy. Habakkuk prayed. Moses said, remember this day. Solomon said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now I've got one other illustration that I'd like to use this Sunday morning for us before I close. Down in Luke chapter number 17. If you'd like to turn there with me. Luke chapter number 17. When speaking to the disciples, telling them the things that were going to take place in the world, how the world would be just prior to the coming of the Son of Man, just prior to the Lord's coming back to this earth again. He began to tell them, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is the way that man's going to be living. And I'm going to read from the 26th verse of the 17th chapter of Luke's Gospel. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and the stump in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Now I'm going to share something with you right now. We're not going to take time for Bible discussion. That is talking about the second coming of the Lord back to earth again. I want to bring it to our attention as the coming of the Lord in the rapture. I'm not going to change the scriptures at all. But he said in the last days, remember, it's going to be like it was in the days of Noah, and like it was in the days of Lot. There was evil and wickedness and sinfulness everywhere. In the days of Lot, and I hope everyone understands where I'm coming from, I want to be plain enough that we understand and not go overboard, but Lot was living in Sodom, a gay society. The entire city. Evil. Away from God. God hated it then. God hates it now. God loves the sinner. Whatever he's done. And God, in His mercy, looked down out of heaven and there's Lot. The Bible says that he was righteous. I'm going to leave that in the Bible. The Bible says that God sent some angels. Two angels. To Lot's house. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but at Lot's house, the angel told them, God's going to destroy the city. He has sent us to bring you out of the city before He destroys it. God's going to destroy the city. Lot went to talk to his other daughters and his sons-in-law, and they had no interest in what he had to say. And today, some of your loved ones have no interest in hearing you talk about God. What are you going to do? Go ahead and live for God. Came time. The angel said to Lot, it's time to go. And the Bible said they lingered. God had told them that He's going to destroy the city, and the Bible says, Lot and his son, they lingered. They were, I'll give you my interpretation, they drug their feet. And the Bible said the angels took them by the hand to bring them out of the city. And so I leave this meeting today as well. Thank God for some of us that we were hard-headed and God had to take us by the hand and bring us out of the horrible pit. He reached out His hand. I went to church one time, 25th Street. I was home on vacation. And those two men were up there singing, and they were on the platform, and the platform was higher than this one. And I remember them singing, and one was playing the guitar, and the other was, they were both singing, and they were singing that when he reached down his hand for me, and one of those reached over and put his hand way down over that banister, way down, like he reached down. I thought, yes, that's exactly what he did for me. He reached way, way down, and God, I'm glad that his arm is not short. Hallelujah. He found me, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible said the angels took them by the hand and brought them out. I'm glad He brought me out. Hallelujah. But He said these words, when you get out of the city, I'm going to destroy it with fire and brimstone. Don't look back. And the Bible says when they got out of the city, Lot, his wife, and his two daughters, four people, when they got out of the city, Lot's wife looked back. Preparing this sermon, looking over some of my address books, we could probably fill this church four times or five times with the people that's been here. I don't mean just once now and then. I'm talking about people that attended for a while. Some have gone on to glory. Many, many, many. Some are attending church and loving God and serving God elsewhere right now. Thank God. Some have moved away. Some are in the ministry today. Out of this church have gone on to preach. So many have turned back. God said to the angel, tell them not to turn back. Don't look back. Why did Lot's wife look back? Knowing what the angels had said. You must not look back. You can't look back. You'll be destroyed. Why do people look back? Because there's something back there behind them that they haven't gotten rid of in their hearts. And thousands upon thousands out of the Holiness Church and evangelical churches and fundamental churches, rather than going on with God and loving Him with all of their hearts, something is still back there. Still back there. And some have gone back and picked up things that God had convicted them of. Some people are doing things today that they would have never done 10 years ago. Wouldn't even come to church. Wouldn't even have been seen by the preacher 20 years ago. But doing it today. Why? Because they looked back. And when she looked back, she was turned to a pillar of salt. So I'll leave with this for you today, and I'm closing. You will not see Lot's wife in heaven. She sinned away her day of grace. She disobeyed God and perished. People that look back are not making progress forward. People that look back cannot be serving God. Don't look back. This is the part that I leave, and my wife's from the piano. In that last verse that I read, I mentioned the first verse of the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. Remember, now thy Creator, in the days of thy youth, remember the Lord when you're young and serve Him all of your heart. You'll be blessed. Moses said, remember this day that God has brought you out of Egyptian bondage because of the blood. Remember this day. Habakkuk prayed to the God of Israel and said, God, remember mercy. And God has and will lets us know in His Word He's going to bring the nation of Israel through. And finally, He says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Keep this in mind. The angel came to her home. She accepted the invitation. She left home knowing that God was going to destroy it all. She got to safety. She was outside of the city. On her way to safety. Away from the fire and brimstone. Away from all of that. On her way to safety. And yet she was lost. You can be lost 1 foot from heaven. You've got to keep on walking. You can be lost having served God 50 years. You've got to keep on walking. Remember, remember, remember. This thing is real. What God required in the Bible 100 years ago, He requires today. What God required in the Bible 2,000 years ago, He requires today for the saints. That's important. Whatever you do, whatever you do, live for God. Remember. My wife is going to play something softly. Aren't you, honey? First part of the sermon was, some things we'd like to forget. Some things we'd like to... Brother Lou has mentioned it so many times, and I understand, Brother Lou. I understand. Devil tries to bring things up how you used to live before you got saved. Try to make you believe that you're not really saved, that God didn't really come to all, but God did. Devil tries best. You like to forget. You like to have it all erased out of your mind. But I'm coming at you today with remember, remember, remember. When we sing and we come to the altar this morning, if you're unsaved, today's the day of salvation. If you have you known God and not living like you ought to, today's the day of restoration. Coming back to God. And if you're loving God with all of your heart, it's a good day to just worship Him. Remembering, remembering. I'd like you to come to this altar this morning with me and let's just remember how it was when you got saved. Could I ask you a question without anyone responding? How did you feel when you got saved? How did you feel when your sins were covered? And it seemed like a load was lifted. How did you really feel in your heart? I want that same feeling to be there this morning. Come and remember and worship God with me. Will you stand together with me? Sing something else, honey. Let's sing something else. Thank God. Thank God.